Okay, it's like three quarters of the way up.
All right, let's try it again. Let's see what happens.
There's like laughing gas in here. So.
That, I swear to God, this never happened.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and simpler living. Yes. And today, clowning around.
That's right. Is it okay if we say that?
Yeah, I
was trying
fan.
To figure out
is
if that would be
cool?
Terribly offensive or just terribly trite, or if you guys could roll with it. So anyway, thank you.
We call it a slur.
Okay.
If you called us mimes,
then there's trouble,
dude. Clown American, please.
Yeah. So we're here with the most famous mimes in all of Portland.
We'll give a speech.
The only guest to ever walk
I'm laughing
out of
silently
the
over here.
Dingo Dismal and Olive Rootbeer. Hello.
Hi. How's it going? Thanks for having us today.
Going great.
So great.
Yeah. No, this is exciting. And, well, I would say it's not too often that I get a chance to talk to a legend. Legends.
Legends?
People who have been here longer than I have, I think.
Okay.
So.
I would say people who have made Portland the Portland that I know.
Yes.
Perhaps even the Portland that you know.
Dingo has this little marks on the history books.
I feel like local color.
Yeah.
I'll call myself local color.
Local color. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And you're very colorful.
Thank you.
Gotta say that.
Today I'm all in red.
Right.
I walked by a bunch of cars. They were all red. And then we went by the local red colored street gang and they waved at me. And then I went by the fire department. Everybody thought I was on their team. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm actually going to that red burrito store down there. And
ooh, yes.
Burritoed up before the old podcast.
That seems like a good idea.
Hot sauce, please.
Right, right. That would have been the Verde, right?
The Verde.
Yes.
Well, I'm only half Mexican and that half doesn't speak Spanish.
Okay,
so I kind of fake it.
That's a good distinction because, yes, I have several ethnicities and I don't speak any of those languages either. It doesn't come naturally as hard as you try. So anyways, thank you for joining us. And
yes.
We're going to talk a lot about clowning and Portland and bikes in just a couple minutes.
Sweet.
So, Aaron.
Yeah.
You got a new patch.
I got a couple new patches, but I got one really important patch.
Yes, tell us about this patch.
I got to take off my vest, actually.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of like the pins.
I got to look at this vest
right.
in order to describe it.
Well, you haven't memorized the number,
it's,
right?
Right. It's the only, by the way, it's the only patch I have that doesn't follow the color scheme.
Oh, right.
As well.
Oh, I just noticed this. Yeah. That's very beige.
It's, yeah.
I like its coffiness.
Do you want to know something funny is Joe Beal actually rung me up for this and I asked him, could I get like a custom patch order?
Yeah.
Like I'm willing to do whatever your minimum order is for these.
I'll buy 500 of them.
Yeah. And he kind of balked like, is this guy serious? But said, sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a valid question.
And I said, well, could
is
you,
Mr. Flores
could you do,
serious?
Could you do, am I? I said, could you do white on black canvas?
Uh-huh.
And he said he couldn't.
Really?
Yes.
For what reason?
Because you have to, like, go over it several times in order for the white ink to take.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, what if he did the inverse, where it was
like
black on white? Would that roll for you?
That's a lot of white.
Maybe it's more than you want.
It's a little bit. Well, yeah.
And what does the patch say?
Okay, yeah.
Yes,
so
back
I,
to the yes.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
So this, it says bicycles allowed full lane, and then also has the Oregon law code there, ORS 814.430, (2)(c).
So just in case anyone doubts that that's the case, they can go and look it up later.
They can look it up. I really hope that's still current.
I just noticed we have matching patches.
Oh, we do! Oh, look at that!
Right, right.
I don't have that patch. I just have the... The evolution.
Did you both get them from Mr. Beal over at the Microcosm?
From monkeys to bikes. What?
Did you get yours from Joe Beal as well?
Where did I get mine? I think I got mine from Microcosm. I mean, that is
totally. Yeah. That's a Microcosm patch.
Yeah.
That's where I got mine.
So, at the bike fair this year, the 2014 Multnomah County Bike Fair.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Good times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
We were doing MCing.
Both were the MCs.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really fun. We thought it wasn't going to happen at first because of a torrential downpour.
That's right. And then it got really hot.
Yeah. So there's a picture of us just moments before it starts. Olive and me and Carl Larson soaking wet with our sopping wet food that we just got from some food carts going, is this even going to happen?
Right.
And then it sure did. The sun came out, and it was like Toontown happened.
And boy, did it come out.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, all the kids were running wild.
Yeah.
They were just like...
Well, and as it should be at a bike fair, I would assume.
Yeah.
I wasn't in town for that one, but it was hot.
It was really hot. Well,
really hot.
And since it had rained just previously, it was really sticky.
Yes.
Hot and humid.
Gulf Coast themed.
Oh, wow.
It was.
There it goes, waiting for some shrimps or something. Yeah,
an East Coast bike fair.
Yeah.
Nice. So the patch that you two have is the one. Yeah, right. It basically starts with an ape. It goes to a more erect ape.
Yeah.
Ape to human, and then human hunches back over to bike.
Culminating,
yes.
Culminating with the use of a bicycle, which really is. I mean, that's the apogee of human development.
That's right.
It doesn't get any better than that.
It's all just been downhill from there.
Ayo. So tell me, what's the significance of this patch to you, Aaron?
I was actually really reluctant to buy the bicycles allowed full lane patch because it sort of, I don't know, it really puts you out there for one.
Yeah,
it really puts a microscope onto you.
You mean from the dashboard of a car?
Right.
When I say, you want a full lane, huh? Yeah. Let me help you out with that. Boom!
Exactly.
I'll give you some help.
Yeah, but have my coffee.
Here's the thing is I tend to ride some pretty busy streets anyways, just habitually. And also, I think I mentioned on a previous episode, like it's the most passive way I can be a bike advocate. Or a bike, maybe it's more along the lines of activism.
I think it's more activist,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just one, it reminds me that this is still a car-centric city.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we love it to be otherwise, it still is car-centric. And also it reminds those in cars, the drivers, that this is also a bike city.
Yes.
Still.
Not quite a bike-centric city.
Not as much.
But we're hoping. Yeah.
And so anyways... Because I'm often on busy roads, I'm often getting yelled at, and I loathe to admit that I'm often doing some yelling back.
Mm.
And I realized having the patch would at least alleviate some of that.
Well, that gets your most basic message across.
It is. Yeah, exactly. You know, when someone yells, get off the road, get out of the road.
Right.
Like, that's why I wear the patch.
Right. You just kind of point to it and be like, check it out.
Yep, there it is.
This is what I believe.
Yeah, and I was trying to remember if we had talked about it in the show. I was trying to figure out when that would have been. And you said maybe you and Tim Mooney were talking about this.
I know Tim and I talked about it. I just can't remember if it was on our episode or on his episode.
That's the problem with a crossover episode.
Listeners, there's a good excuse to go check out the Pedal Shift project.
Pedalshift.net, everybody. It's a good site. I think that's the thing, because I live just off of Foster Road down in Outer Southeast
right
now.
Which is hella busy.
It's hella busy, especially during rush hour. But I realized that I guess maybe it's my responsibility. It's incumbent upon me as someone who is comfortable riding with traffic. Not everybody is. I happen not to be too scared, I guess. So I'm the person that should be out there.
Anyway,
I should be paving the way, as it were, for like less confident or experienced cyclists by being out there and mixing with traffic on Foster and saying, hey, by the way, in a couple of years, they're going to add a bike lane here. This is going to go down to two directions of traffic, you know, two lanes of traffic with a turn lane.
Might as well get used to us being
here. Get used to us being here. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not always easy work, but that is a form of activism, because I'm not the kind of guy that goes out and, like, you know, I don't carry banners or I guess maybe it'd be fun. But I am the banner, yes.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, I like that you got that, Aaron, and maybe I should look for my own.
Yeah. I'm thinking of maybe bleaching out the creaminess of this.
Oh, really? Just making it white?
Creaminess.
It white. Yes.
Okay. Well, it's possible.
It would better fit the color scheme. Mm.
It's been done before. I'm not to that specific article, but it's possible to make something whiter than it is.
One thing I just realized, Dingo, is I often see you on Belmont, which is also kind of one of the more busy roads.
Yeah.
It's what hard to go down Belmont sometimes.
Yeah. What he's saying about being in the road, I'll put it in Texan. You're a pretty big old boy. So he's a pretty big old boy, you know. So when he's out there on his bike, it's just kind of like me on that big giant bike too. I'm a pathfinder, and I treat it like they're cattle, and I'm a cowboy. And get out the way, you know, screaming at him and just barking at him, and you know, it's kind of like I'm the moon with my partner here, who's on a smaller tall bike. And I'm hoping to catch everything. Soon as we show up, all the traffic in every direction slows down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not always, but most of the time they slow down, not out of courtesy necessarily, but more
out of curiosity.
Yeah. Splendor. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. As the years go by, it's gotten a lot friendlier.
Yeah.
But
Well, let's talk about that, because I'm curious how this has been. Oh, and by the way, as soon as I say, hey, let's get down to business, there's the train.
Yeah.
Let's give it just a minute.
Right on cue.
Yeah.
Choo choo.
You can't argue. It's hard. It's hard to fight a train. Usually the train wins, even on the mics.
Yeah. Our kid's getting old, and this morning I was like, "Look, there's a train. There's a train." And he's like 8, and he's like, "Yep.
I know.
I'm not 3 anymore."
Industrial Revolution happened.
I don't believe in Thomas anymore.
Yeah. He's dead to me after the unpleasantness.
Let's talk about the about your bicycles. First of all, describe your bikes.
Okay, bicycle. Dingo's is like 10 feet tall. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
10 feet tall? Okay.
Well, and top of my head is 10 feet tall to the ground.
And my seat's probably like 4 foot. 10 inches tall, maybe. Anyway, really, really, really tall, yellow, colorful, very easy to see on the road. And, you know,
they have names.
They sparkle. Yeah,
they do.
My bike is the Behemoth.
Behemoth.
I've had it for 9 years, and it has a flatbed trailer on the back.
That's right. Used for carrying laundry, but now it carries humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dinosaurs.
Had dual use as kid carriaging, and I hear it's a chick magnet.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, that girl that one time that was like, "Hey." What did she say?
Well, there's a lot of those situations.
It happens a lot.
"Hey, I want to be the seat of your bike."
Yes.
That's an interesting request.
Yeah, we do get some, what are they called? Indecent proposals on the road.
Right.
Which is way better than several years ago when every proposal was F you.
Yeah. Right. That's not very creative.
Yeah. Because a few blocks down the road, a guy will yell, "Faggot."
Yeah. And I know it's working out, because if that guy is offended by me, that means the people that I'm actually going to entertain are going to be thrilled.
That's right.
And that's how it's been happening.
Is it almost like you need some sort of barometer to find out exactly...
Sure.
I don't want to say ridiculous in a bad way, but like there's a certain amount of is outlandish a less offensive term?
I don't know what you'd use to describe
outlandish American, please.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think some folks might think that we're being eccentric and want to dress colorfully to get our freak flag on or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at this stage of the game, I just want the traffic to know where I'm at 10 steps away.
Sure.
There we go.
And so I'm blasting the techno music. I don't play heavy metal because then they want me to pop the wheelies. But if I'm playing techno or a big band or something like that, the two of us are dancing and we're just bringing up the spirits left and right. And also finding out who's got a terrible attitude.
There you go.
Some people just do not want to see some clowns today.
Right.
Just lost their job. Their girlfriend threw their stuff out. And,
what is it with this clown?
Look at these happy jerks.
Yeah. why tall bikes? And this is, as someone who owns one, I believe you and I met about a year ago or so.
I remember, yeah.
Because I had mine out.
Beautiful
yours
one,
out.
That brown one.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you build yours?
No, I'm terrible with straight lines.
And so am I. And see, this is the thing. I've always thought that if you own a tall bike, then you have to have built it yourself. Otherwise, you're not in the club.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Is this a fair proposal or is this not?
Oh, I just hate the club.
Okay. All right.
I have my own identity. And so what I'm up to is just I find as many mad scientists and movers and shakers and people who are going somewhere, doing something and something to offer, and drag them all together and try and save the world. And... as a part of that, I get outfitted by these guys that they don't necessarily want to be in. The guy that built our bikes, his name is Topher Moore.
Okay, so I used to work with Topher last year.
Yeah.
He and I were at the same work
site. He's a genius.
That's sweet.
He's one of my favorite people in the world. You want milk carbonated? That guy will carbonate milk for you. You know, he's just up to any kind of crazy thing we could throw at him.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
And so
I've never considered this.
Yeah. So he would just come to the house and draw in chalk on the floor whatever the design is that we'd be cooking up.
Okay.
And then he'd stick it. He wouldn't even stop. He would just keep on working until it was done, and I'd just sit there next to him like a parrot, feeding him beer, coffee, soup, anything he wanted. Yeah. And then next thing you know, we're flying down the road in a blaze of glory, and he's just quietly sipping his coffee and giggling to himself, you know.
That's, that's fascinating.
And so that's how that worked.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And so is there anything beyond the entertainment value of tall bikes? Is it
safer?
What was that?
It's quite a bit safer.
Safer, okay.
Yeah, never been more scared than
ways,
riding a 10-speed.
Okay, just a standard safety bike, very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see over so many people and so many things.
And then people
we've never hit
you.
Anyone before.
Exactly.
We can always, I mean, we've been riding them for a long time, but and so have you. But you can come down and you don't, I mean, have you ever crashed your bike?
Well, yes, but I've always been drunk when it happened.
Oh,
so
yes.
that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think some of those people who built their own tall bike, they don't do what we do. So it's, you know, it's fair
it's
to say
thing,
that if
yeah.
you don't do what we do, then of course you should build your own tall bike.
Yeah, we're in the entertainment industry and we're doing it because we can't afford like Willamette Week to run a commercial for our little shows. We're street musicians.
Yeah.
So that is our advertising, is riding the tall bikes.
Okay.
That's what we've been doing all day, actually. We call it a fame run.
Fame run.
Where we just dress up as much as we can, get in our tall bikes, and start blasting music and just riding all the places we're likely to be.
Oh, fascinating. Oh,
and so years and years ago, people would stop and be like, oh, there's those guys! And then it turned into, it's Dingo! And then, it's Dingo and Olive! And now it's them. It's them. There they are. It's them.
So this is kind of like a paragon of, like, you've reached
just the building
the
over the years to where they just know us.
Okay.
And then at the Belmont Street Fair, when I was leaving, it was dark, and I found a bunch of people walking on the side of the road that all looked Southeast Asian. They were wearing the Southeast Asian clothes and sound Southeast Asian. I didn't understand anything any of them were saying, but I understood exactly what all of them were saying was, look at that son of a bitch on the bike. How'd he get on there? What's all that stuff? I have no idea what he's doing that for. But the one thing that came through in English was the tiniest voice in the stroller goes, it's Dingo. So our little fan knew exactly who I was. And so the little ones know us. And so when I put flyers on posts
on that.
Yeah, we had a booth there.
Yes, I saw you guys. I wanted to go up and talk. And
you should have,
I'm too self-conscious.
We're somewhat approachable.
No, you're
we're
very
somewhat approachable. Yeah.
We put the flyers on the bottom of the pole because that's where the little kids will see them. Because we want them to go, hey, take me to that. If we put it up at adult level, they're not going to register it.
Yeah, so you two entertain children. So tell us what it is that you do.
Well, it looks like we ride to the cafe. A cafe that we've partnered with, and we set up all our gear, and we get to be fascinating for
we give
an
them all
hour and
fireworks and coffee.
Yeah, puppies.
No, yeah. Puppies, free fireworks, free coffee. Yay, Portland.
Yay.
No.
Sounds like a deal, kids. So come on out.
Yeah, comedy strung together with songs and stories, and it's a learning experience. Sometimes we like to insert little fun facts about the world and history and science in there, and sometimes it's just all silly.
Yeah, depends on the day.
And all of our demographic is pretty much from 6-month-old babies to 6-year-old kids.
Okay,
yeah, that's who thinks we're fascinating.
Right. Yeah.
So you
and
top
drugs.
Out around 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless we're doing a nightclub gig and then...
Well, I mean, we've did a 10-year-old birthday. It depends on the kid.
Okay.
You know, some of those homeschool kids just like love everything in the world.
I was one of those. I'm in.
And now you're here.
Now, yeah. And you know, it just... We entertain lots of people. Even actually, there'll be nannies who come to our show and be like, I actually wanted to come today. The kids, they don't care.
We try and mix punk rock and dancey stuff and classical music and all kinds of stuff that we like to listen to, because the little kids, they'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely love it. Dad metal is my favorite kind of music, and little kids love infantile stuff like dad metal.
Sure.
So some Iron Maiden, they love that.
There you
really?
Go.
Yeah.
That's
stomping,
awesome.
And it's classical music.
Right. So there's a musical element. You play guitar, as I recall. Right. I was at Sound Grounds. I want to say sometime in the neighborhood of that last big ice storm that we had.
Sure.
Because I'm not usually free during the day, but I was off work because of the storm. And so, yeah, I think you guys were just wrapping up one of your things there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Awesome.
And, yeah, I remember there was a guitar and there was some music and some songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm the wild jungle sounding crazicorn.
Crazicorn.
Yeah, all the little girls just look at her like she's a living pony.
Nice.
Oh my God. Yeah. Both of us, when we show up, it reminds me of an AC/DC concert. Because uh-huh. We're like, thunder. And then other times it's crap and we get no pay and we go home in the shape of a question mark on our bikes. Bad posture. Oh shit. We didn't make any money. That was horrible.
Because
we're not anybody's employee.
Sure.
We didn't get hired. Right. We just evolved out of sideshow into open mic, out of open mic into kid performing.
Yeah. So how long has it been kid performance?
Oh. Is it three
four.
Years? 4 years now.
Almost okay. Four. Mm-hmm. Almost 4 years.
And what happened before that?
Dingo was Dingo's been a clown for 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah, just doing open mic was before that, and then before that was circus sideshow.
Okay.
And now if we do circus sideshow at all, it's just for charity or something like that.
Gotcha.
Because Olive wants to keep her teeth. And our show was
They're
had
humongous.
A lot of me breaking cinder blocks on her stomach and her dropping a bowling ball on my
You're kidding
stomach.
Me.
Yeah, and we'd pound nails in my head. And what we would do is get a joke wrong or get a card trick wrong, and then she'd spend the rest of the act torturing me. We'd go out.
that's everybody, a great trope.
He's like, oh, baby, we got to do something to you, and then you know.
Yeah, like Dante's over bodies. Everybody's waiting for her to get naked, but at the end of our act, I'm buck naked in a bed of broken glass, and she's dropping a bowling ball on me.
There we go. So are we talking about actual broken glass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah. And
so you developed toughness to your skin, I suppose.
During the 90s, yeah. I was a road dog.
Well,
and I
his
spent...
back is in shreds at the end of
yeah.
the
Yeah, that's true. It is gotcha. A bloody mess at the end.
Gosh. All right. And that's probably why you don't do it anymore, then.
Well, I would be doing it, but there isn't any dough in it anymore.
Ah.
And I haven't had any booze in like 10 years. So,
okay.
Or 9 years or so. And so that was to get a good free drink, you know.
You've graduated.
To get several years of free drinking and free everything that comes with being a chaos clown. It's the thing to do is circus sideshow.
Okay.
But then I have a big giant child support check to pay. And
sure.
Rent and all this other stuff. So I had to craft my show business thing into something that is more practical.
And at a certain point, rolling in glass will no longer get you paid. So
right.
you got to find a different way to make money.
Well, rolling in glass was a lot better than what I was doing before that, which was getting shot at by riot cops all the time, being a forest defender.
Okay.
So it was a progression, you know. So
yeah.
After the forest defending stuff, Circus Sideshow was
much easier.
I get paid and paid for that? All right. I wish I'd known that before.
Well, yeah. And Dingo, I think that, you know, you probably melded your personality into mine. I kind of came
She'd
into my own when we first met, actually. So
less feral,
more domestic.
Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, I've kind of made something in our own little. I'm the voice of our show. I'm
right.
I've got the microphone. Mm-hmm. I've got all the voices that we do, and so I don't think that broken glass in our show would really go with my Mary Poppins sounding.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's not a kid's thing, really.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
So it's been it's definitely been a journey working together and being like a romantic pair, and you know, conquering.
Right.
We're
tolerating each other and stuff.
Uh-huh.
We're building an empire. That's what we're doing.
So how did you two meet?
How did we meet?
We met in a park.
Okay.
At Laurelhurst Park.
It's a good park.
Yes. Roommate said, hey, I'm going on a date. Want to come with me? And then he was like, oh, you're going on a date? I'm going to go with you. And then
so my roommate was my roommate asked out a girl I liked, actually.
Oh.
And when I found out he was taking her on a date, I invited myself on the date to cockblock. But I didn't realize that the girl he invited on the date invited Olive also to cockblock.
Okay.
And so it was
She's
a double
like,
cockblock.
I don't want to go to this date, so right. Just come with me. It'll be a party.
So we're saying two negatives make a positive.
Uh-huh.
Apparently so.
We only acknowledged each other and then moved on.
Okay.
Ate our watermelon, played with the ferret, left.
She had wanted us to meet because she used to come home and we used to sit in the bathroom and she'd be like taking a bath, la 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 la, and she'd be telling, oh my gosh, Olive, there's this guy and we were like rubbing peanut butter. They were at a peanut butter and jelly party or something. It was weird.
Interesting.
And, yeah, I was eating a bowl of, I just poured some Raisin Bran and put the milk in it and the phone rings. And it's the cute girl from the bagel shop. She's like, we're having a topless party. You want to come over here? We want it to be fun, Dingo. Can you bring fun? And I'm like, let me look. Yep, got fun. But then I looked over at my cereal. I'm like, I just poured the... I have to finish this.
Right. Finish the cereal. Middle of something important.
Went to the most delightful little booby party I'd ever been to.
There we go.
It was fun.
Another day in life. Happy town in Portland.
Right.
And she used to tell me about it. She was like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. And actually, you guys remind me of each other. And you'd probably really like each other. And you kind of look alike. And maybe you should meet. And then we met, and then it was like, oh, hey, you want to draw on the wall? Sure.
That's we met at her apartment to put murals on the wall.
Like five meetings or something. Uh-huh.
Nice.
And so we were supposed to have a bunch of people doing murals on the wall, but nobody showed up.
Nobody
so it was just me and Olive. And Olive was wearing just a jumpsuit with all the buttons down.
Okay.
And so we just painted the mural and told life stories and
then
found out
said,
we had a ton
my
of
hair,
stuff.
Please.
That's right. I knew if she braided my hair. That I can braid her.
Wow, this is really juicy stuff that we're revealing here.
It's reciprocal.
Yeah. And then we pulled out chainsaws and whiskey.
That's where maybe we'll move on to the next topic.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Woohoo! But you two found each other. Yes.
How I will ever find love with this short ass hair now.
Well, there's only
short,
one answer.
Unbraidable hair.
Only one answer, Mr. Flores. The 90s are coming back.
The 90s are coming back. Okay. Yeah.
That's the lesson of today, huh?
I think
grow
so.
Grow your hair long.
Yes, for sure.
Grow your hair so they will braid it.
Unless you're into a lot
if
of
they
cigarettes.
Braid it.
Then you have like an anti-air freshener.
I'm curious about clowning.
Is this
something that, do either of you have, because I know there are clown schools. Are either of you professionally trained as clowns or is this
Nope.
No.
Just
you're self-taught.
Self-taught clowns.
Well, I ran away from home after not passing 11th grade.
Okay.
So I've been saying I have an 11th grade education, but then Olive says, no, you have a 10th grade education, dummy. You didn't,
didn't pass
it. But anyway, I didn't pass it.
He has his diploma, though.
Right.
Your mom is savvy enough to get you his
diploma. I joined the Shrine Circus and traveled around the country being a concessionaire and living with clowns.
Okay.
And I got to learn how a circus works.
So it rubs off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got out of there because of the way they treated the elephants at winter quarters.
Oh,
I just saw enough elephant training to go, I'm not a part of this at all.
Yeah.
And it started a political thing in me that has been growing ever since to where even to this day when people are griping about me about commuting over the Ross Island Bridge, I say, this is the way I can feed my family without having the oil companies as my business partner.
Right.
I'm going to be on this bike and I'm going to ride it like I'm in a full frontal charge. And if I get killed doing it, I get killed doing it. But I'm going to count on my experience to just power through. And I'm not going to dilly-dally around because that really gets you in a dangerous situation. You know?
Right.
Not being decisive.
Cheers
you have
to that.
Just be out there.
Seriously. Well, let's lift our beverages. Maybe it's a good time to tell people what we're drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, did we ever get this one open?
No,
it's about time.
Hey, Perry McParrison.
There it goes.
Yeah, we've got some pear juice. We've got some, what is this called? Chameleon cold brew.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting the Chameleon Cold Brew mocha coffee. Yeah.
And I've got carrot beet celery juice from Columbia Gorge Organic, which is really good because I was sick just a couple days ago, and I feel much better, but I think this is going to get me back on the road to health.
Good. You know, I was sick a couple days ago, too, and my friend Megan Sinat just found me this amazing juicer. And I've been juicing like ginger, kale, carrot juice. It makes you feel so much better. Put some jalapenos in there and it'll get your cold out.
I have not had enough jalapenos since I was sick. It's probably about time to dig some up. Speaking of ginger, you, sir.
Yes.
Ginger. Bruce Cost Ginger Ale Unfiltered. And there's like... There is a lot of sediment on the bottom of this.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. Hella ginger at the bottom of that
bottle. It's surprisingly sweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was expecting it to be like almost bitter and like really kind of hot, like a lot of ginger beers are.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The typeface they chose for the label is deceptive, though.
It's really gorgeous.
Nice.
It looks like the kind of beverage that you will enjoy coming out of your pores later.
There you go.
Oh, that's the ginger ale.
Another bit of Portland history. Were either of you connected to the Clown House on Alberta Street?
Yes, that was my miss.
All right. Tell us a little bit about this, because this is a legend. At this point, it's no longer there as the Clown House.
Right.
When did it start, when did it end, and what was it like?
I think it started in 1997, I want to say, in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't in Portland.
So the Alberta Clown House was not on Alberta?
Yeah, there was four of them.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
For the weird reason of everywhere I live is called the Clown House. If I have a house, it quickly becomes a collective.
Okay.
It becomes an operation.
I see.
So 97.
Yeah, about 97, there was a gathering of different circuses from around the country for a fair type thing going on. Probably the Oregon Fair and a Rainbow Gathering or something like that. I was never into going out to festivals. I like being at the home front, you know?
Like having it happen, like creating your own festival at home.
And so with all of those people in this house full of punks, which was my house, it turned into a circus thing. We were like, wow, we can really do this. All of us know how to do this, the circus thing, and we know how to fight the revolution. Because at the time in Eugene, there was a Korean microchip factory trying to get up on the wetlands, and they're cutting down all these big ancient oak trees to make a parking lot for Symantec Corporation. And so
that called for some activism.
That called for everybody to put that hat on and get out there. And I saw some amazing stuff when that happened.
So
I was a cook in a restaurant, and I saw the guy that wasn't there that day. The next day, I saw on the front page of the newspaper him throwing a tear gas grenade back. And I was like, oh, I got to take the day off too. And that started it. So my first day as a clown was actually going straight into battle.
I was
going
to say, so you're using clowning as a way of activism.
Like a rodeo clown or a matador. Right.
Okay.
Like you
definitely.
If you ever look at on the internet of pictures of me from back then, I have this thick, thick grease paint with powder on top of it, and it's impervious to pepper spray.
Oh, wow.
And we have all these layers of clown drag on that have milk crate pieces underneath them and armor. And we have pirate radio at the house.
So you can take a baton or two.
Yeah. Like during the times of resistance in Eugene, the locals were okay, but it was not a safe time to be an anarchist or a cop because it was just open battle all day, every day.
That's very
interesting.
For a long
time.
Yeah.
And in Portland, too. They called it Little Beirut.
Uh-huh. Was it form following function? Was it like the idea that like this is a way to disguise the things we need to stay safe as activists, or did it go the other way around?
It evolved. It evolved from a lot of people confused but angry, angsty, knowing that it's not right, knowing they've been told things that aren't true, to as every progressive gathering happened, people traded ideas, and it got more and more sophisticated and more and more sophisticated. And now it's not a big angry mess, because black anarchist is just as out of place as a riot cop now, because we have bike lanes. We have those little swamps that are by all the parking lots that gather all the sludge, you know?
Bio-swales.
We got a lot of really cool stuff out of that.
We're getting closer to the world that you envisioned.
Yeah.
So the activism is less urgent, perhaps?
Yeah. Now I got to be smart.
Okay. The work is not done, but we're closer.
Yeah, don't throw the hat away, but definitely switch gears into something more practical.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Or you're just as bad as the thing you were fighting.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
So it went from Eugene to
Alberta.
Came to Portland to find a bigger pond to swim in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we ended up over on Interstate Avenue at the Palms Motel.
Oh,
that was my first.
Yeah.
First view of Portland was the Palms Motel, and
that's not a bad view,
super
right?
Scary. Yeah.
Kind of up
it was
on the
horrible.
Hill.
It was the ghetto.
I mean, as far as like
with
you can see downtown
what,
from
a 6-month-old baby too.
Yeah, we had a tiny baby.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And so we finally just found a little place in North Portland and started growing the Clown House again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole different crew of people. And for a long time, I just used all our stuff from Eugene and just repackaged it over and over again. And I just tried to keep the spirit alive. I didn't know anybody in Portland. And North Portland at the time had a different kind of activism. They were upset with police brutality on black people.
Okay.
So I joined that team.
Yeah.
And several other ones. There was a place called the Liberation Collective downtown, which was a big storefront full of anarchist bookstore stuff, and that had a big board on the back that told you where everything was happening. And so you could just get on board, and if you want to go protect monkeys from the labs, you go that way. If you want to go to the forest, go that way. If you want to do pirate radio, come this way.
It's kind of a locus point for all the various forms of activism that people saw a need for.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, Portland was a beer-drinking, punching town of black and white and blue and gun steel gray. And then it just turned into what it is now, which is some kind of cartoon.
I was going to say, it seems like very little of that is visible anymore.
Right.
Would you say it's gone, or is it simply
less visible? It's antiquated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was beautiful one time. I remember when Olive did many years later, was doing research about corporations, and I saw it hit her face. She's like, I think these corporations are evil. And I'm like, yes.
It just kind of dawned on you one day.
Yeah, and she just broke it down because she had been studying how they weren't paying their bills correctly and not paying into the country and offshore and all this stuff. And
we met when I was 19.
Right.
She was pissed off. It was awesome.
So it gives you some time to develop into a thinking adult.
Yeah. So the Clown's House was on Mississippi Avenue for a long time.
Oh.
And that was when it was full on operatives clowns. That evolved into a thing where I remember one time there was a giant protest downtown against the Iraq war, but there was also a movie being filmed with F-16 Phantom jets blowing stuff up.
And
really? So not everybody got the they were filming it, yeah, and so not everybody got the memo that was a movie. So people lost their minds. They're like, the government's attacking with fighter planes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But it was a cool time to be in Portland, because North Portland, when I first got there, the people didn't really, I didn't know anybody that much. Mm-hmm. Mississippi Pizza was a laundromat.
Okay.
And after a while, you just see people that have all walks of life. They're all going downtown to go tell George Bush to fuck off.
Interesting. And this was what? This was 2006, 7?
Earlier.
Okay.
Earlier. 2001.
Into the 90s. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm thinking of a different Bush arrival.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was interesting because back then there was so much going on that people would know when a dignitary or a business person was coming into town that did horrible things.
Uh-huh.
And they'd just meet him there and give him hell the whole way,
right on.
You know, and it just doesn't happen that much because...
Is it that they're not visiting, or we're just not hearing about it?
Well, if you look at Joe Biden, you don't really want to throw a brick as much as go, well, how are we going to do this?
I missed my chance.
Just kind of go like, hey, you're trying, man.
Yeah.
You're doing your best.
Yeah, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican or anything, but I'm not throwing any bricks at that guy. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
not the same animal. And just like any other thing, if people can't evolve, then they get stuck in a rut, and then they're
right.
It's either becoming complacent or fighting a battle that is Don Quixote.
Well, do either of you, do you find that you still have you're still participating in activism and it's changed shape?
Like, definitely.
What does it look like for you today?
Well, now we're trying to affect the world in the small ways that we can.
Mm-hmm.
By example,
we're just a duo. Mm-hmm. We don't have a team of cohorts that, you know, support us every single day. And people always ask us, you know, what gang are you guys a part of? Or like, what troop or what? And we're just like, it's him and I.
Yeah.
Where's the Juggalo gathering?
Yeah. So,
hand to mouth. And then we go back. We're like a jack in the box. We just live in our little box and go. Okay,
bye-bye.
Back
out. Sure. Yeah.
Wait for someone else to turn the crank.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's gone from all out. Like, you're not wearing a disguised flak jacket anymore. It's more of like these are the small things we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, like
you're supporting people around us. And
simple transportation is something you do because you believe that it's better than the alternative.
We want them to see us carrying hundreds of pounds of equipment in all weather year round.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They notice. And they say, it's interesting to hear people in Texas, Arizona, Alabama, Florida. All those people, when they're saying, thanks for showing us some other ways to get around. We kind of thought we were stuck in our car thing, but then, you know, I think you guys go further than we do to commute to work every day. Like, I think we do.
What is your range? Like, how far do you guys travel for your gigs?
Are we 30 miles?
Really?
Is that the end? Is that our furthest before I start complaining? Oh, well, actually, I could complain about anything. It could be, but we try and keep it really close.
Yeah, no, actually, we do try to keep it. We just go out multiple times. Like, I think our range is probably like 7 miles.
Okay.
As far as 7 miles. But we go back and forth, and we do multiple gigs in a day. So we can get up to like 20 or 25 miles some weekends. Like some Saturdays, that is what we hit.
Pretty easily, I'm sure.
Right.
And arriving on the bikes is part of the show just as much as leaving on them.
Yeah. And, Dingo likes to bring a firework. He literally saves the fireworks from 4th of July. We don't even shoot them off at the 4th of July. Yeah. We're like, oh my gosh, we have fireworks for the whole year.
Well, they're too valuable to use them then, right?
Fireworks in December, looks like you spent some money.
Yes.
I spent millions on their light show. Millions of $10.
What's the favorite arrival firework?
Oh,
what gets people excited?
The TNT, uh-huh. The big round canister thing, the three stage.
Yeah. Nice.
Whistle, screams. It's got a good beat. Yeah. We can dance to it.
Yeah. I think it was the end, like right before the 4th of July. It was this last spring. It was like one of our last fireworks from the year before. And we're like, we're going to do a firework. And it was the end of the party. And we go out there and like everyone's out there. And the firework goes. And then they're like.
And that's it. Yeah. Nothing left.
Great. Yeah. Dingo and I were like, sorry.
They don't last forever. And it's a good time to leave.
Yeah. We're human, remember?
Have you ever done, and I know that this is a thing that happens for some people. I don't know how often you encounter it, because it seems like largely you're playing to people that like you, but clown phobia, it is a thing.
Yeah.
So have you experienced this? Have you come in contact?
I don't think anyone's ever been afraid of us, right?
Okay.
We have a version of that that isn't anonymous. Like, most of the clown faces you would think of that is anonymous comes from a time before color television, when that was a thing that they wanted to see. But now that there is color television, when you see somebody that anonymous, it scares the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so it's like...
very approachable.
Yeah.
And, I was going to say, you guys, I've never seen you, like, in the full clown...
It's not much. It's just a couple of stuff, just enough so they know we're at work. Just enough.
Yeah. Right.
And we've
like rouge, like bright red rouge on our noses and on our cheeks. That's the most important. And if you actually keep your, am I giving away secrets?
If you wanted to be a clown, this is what you would do.
If you keep your skin tone and then you just rouge out your nose and your cheeks, it really makes you look like a cartoon.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so that's part of what we do is
people
we rouge us out.
We help them get over clown
and then food. Color okay. Like a little bit of eyebrows. Mm-hmm.
There
know,
is like I wouldn't say I'm
it's an art
clownophobe, but there is something discomforting when you encounter somebody who has like just the full. I mean, the same with mimes too.
Oh,
like
right.
Actually, mimes scare the hell out of me.
Wait, you were a mime for Halloween one year.
I was my fear.
That's appropriate.
It's my fear.
That's how you get over it.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to be a mime, you know, but it's another thing. Like some stranger.
It's another thing to talk about it.
Face is like all painted up and they're not talking. That's scary as shit for
sure.
Me. Mm-hmm. But no, there is something like a little discomforting around somebody who just
depends on how
face.
They do it too. Yeah. If they're good at it or not. If you can go out there with something with a lot of talent or short circuit them with something that's tall and colorful.
Yeah.
So we had a real loser in our troupe one time that we just, he couldn't do anything. So we would just have him stand out there with a pole, with a bucket at the top of the pole.
Oh, there
and
we
people
go.
Would just watch him for the longest time while we got ready. We called him 7 minutes because we need 7 minutes. Go out there and try and get 14 out of him. Okay, keep going, keep going. Yeah. Good man. You know,
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. That's a great idea. Just the anonymity. And the reason that people might hate clowns is because you don't know who they are or what they're like or what they're hiding.
Or if they even have talent.
Yeah. The talent always justifies it because then the person is like, okay, they're not going to hit me with a stick. They've practiced this.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or they're going to hit me with a stick in the most glorious way that's totally
right. But if you show some sort of talent and some sort of acumen right off the bat.
Right.
that takes away a
right.
lot of the
bad talent makes it worse.
Okay.
I'm gonna make candle wax sculptures on my nuts.
Nobody
that's
likes
a real
that
guy
clown.
I didn't make that up.
Oh really? Yeah. Wait, when did this happen?
Well, the clown house, when it was the activist days, we would do the activist stuff and then go home and just get wasted.
Okay.
Right. So right we have plenty of video of clowns
like
behaving
a,
badly.
Right, yeah. not a public performance.
No. Oh,
man.
So,
unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, I think the scariest clowns for me, I mean, I'm not afraid of clowns. I'm not really afraid of clowns. But
good thing.
I am intimidated by, I think, probably characters who are a lot older who wear that full face drag and they're like maybe like 60s, 70s and they're still clowning.
Okay.
And you've got, they're just like, there's something like really intense about them because they're still doing it and it's still really intense and they're like still all white, still like that corporate look of clowning that you're just like.
It's like Bozo towards the end of his career.
Right, yeah.
And you're just like, whoa.
And it makes him really happy, but they're just kind of scary to look at.
Sure. It's worse than a fake Santa Claus beard.
Yeah.
But
for anybody who hasn't seen you, and we'll have a picture of you with us on the website. You're not in your full costume right now, obviously, but but you don't wear enormous shoes. You don't wear clown noses.
No.
There's a lot of things that people would stereotypically assume. You don't have curly neon wigs.
Nope. Our style is,
I
our
like
motif
wigs
is
sometimes.
Portland. So anything you would see in Portland's nighttime, we're a parody of that for the kids in the mornings.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So we're in pretty much rock and roll nightclub character garb the whole time.
There we go.
Sparkles and bike stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like rocking the bike stuff and the and like vintage. And Dingo wears middle-aged women's clothing sometimes.
Yeah. It doesn't look like that, but yeah.
Whatever gets the job done.
I'm a middle-aged guy, so I need something with an elastic waistband.
Yeah. I should try that out.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, we wear lots of different things.
Yeah.
Colorful, awesome.
Okay.
Whatever works.
Yeah, and they dress, the kids
like
come dressed up too.
So there we go.
They bring placards with our names on it, or they dress to the nines, or.
We become more sophisticated as we've grown together.
Figuring out what the. We need the people that bring the kids to be entertained. That's who we're speaking to. That's why we're getting away with having our level set to The Clash.
Sure.
Because we know what they like.
And, right.
We want them to want to hear us too.
Sure. I think we fit into kind of a weird, we don't really fit into a genre because there's this, this kid scene in Portland where, you know, a lot of the entertainers drive to their gigs and then they have all this really awesome equipment and they put all these
rockers.
Amazing, wonderful shows. And it could be puppetry and it could be music and it could be storytelling, could be whatever it is. And we do storytelling and but we go everywhere on our bikes year round.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the same type of stuff, but we also make balloon animals and we also consider ourselves these clown characters and we don't really fit into the clown culture really either, the circus culture, because there's just the two of us and we do kids music. And so they're like, we want circus. And then we like come there and they're like, oh, you tell stories for kids and you're funny, but you're not exactly like, we just have our own thing going for us.
Yeah.
That's totally different. And
every day's a job interview when you're a clown.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of how I thought about when I was in a band. It used to be like getting every gig is kind of like applying for a new job.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's applied for a job knows that's not too much fun over time. So have you found
it's
ways to streamline that for yourself? Is there any way that gets easier over time?
The more, you know what? We actually have 6 public shows every single week.
Okay. These are standing gigs.
Yep.
Yeah, they don't pay us to be there. They just know that we're going to bring customers to their small business.
Right.
Yeah.
And we rely on the community actually to support us and keep bringing us back every week. And then actually those people bring us to their private parties and then they pay us, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah.
And so we could have anywhere from 1 to 6 of those. You know, there's so many different ways to do it. But I think the way that you streamline, you know, all of those auditions, like you're saying, is just to do it, just to keep doing it every single day. And we get so much practice at what we do that Dingo and I can show up to a gig and be like, oh, well, we didn't really have that long of a practice this week. We touched base, you know, a few minutes before the show and we can go out there and we can rock it.
So all of this sounds chemistry. Very much like kind of a band like in the music band. Industry. Yeah, like there are a lot of parallels.
Except we're real poor. We don't make very much money. Together we make about as much as one alcoholic dishwasher, if my memory serves.
Okay. There we go.
In the 90s.
But the goal, like, we have clear goals, right? Mm. We want to be like the next...
if we could get a solar-powered biplane, then maybe we could go to where the money is.
Yeah.
But for now, we've got to stay in our neighborhood.
There we go.
Right.
Because we could go to Lake Oswego and just be a clown there all the time and probably buy a house with our clownery.
Mm-hmm.
But then the oil company would be our business partner, and that's not going to happen.
Sure, that would be right. Really tough.
Yeah, we love living in Inner Southeast. We mm-hmm. love this place so
Even
much.
Last time we were on Alberta Street doing a show at a kid's stage, I actually asked them to take the Disney logo off the stage.
Ah.
And they're like, are you kidding? I'm like, I'm not going to go up there with that Disney logo in there. I will not. I'm not going up there.
Yeah. You have some differences with Disney. Yeah.
Well, just a big corporate logo that's right. not Portland. If it doesn't say Portland, I don't care about it. Yeah, I don't know them.
Gotcha.
And so Olive and I just went, ate some food at a food cart, and when we got back, they were disassembling this big Erector set. And
all
I was
right.
like, thank you.
Yeah.
We went up and performed our show, you know.
Well, that was nice of them to accommodate you. Yeah.
Right. It's shocking.
But then the shade went
Disney
away, too.
Disney paid $2,000 for that stage to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were able to work some magic, as it were.
Yeah. They were very, the PDX Kids people were, PDX Kids calendar is where people go online to find out where to bring their kids to local events in Portland.
Okay.
So the PDX Kids calendar is who asked us to be there and who was the liaison between Activist the Clown and and the corporations.
And Disney the Waltz or whatever.
Yeah, and the suits.
They serve a wide range of people on their
yes.
website.
They're
it's
beautiful
amazing.
People. I okay. love what they're doing.
Yeah. So if people wanted to find out where you were and what you were up to, where would they go on the internet or otherwise?
Oliveanddingo.com.
We have internet, interwebbing. Yes.
Oliveanddingo.com.
Well put. Well put.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, there was this story recently, Olive, your yellow tall bike was misappropriated and returned. Is that correct?
Tell them what your bike's name is.
Party.
Her bike's called The Party.
The Party. The Party.
Yeah. The Party. Nice. Actually, yeah, it came right into my lap and it was like, wee. And we were like, what's your name? And the bike was like, oh, someone already named me. I don't know why they named her The Party. That's what her name is.
But you're stuck with it.
Yes,
well, I commissioned it from the guy that built my bike.
Okay. This is a Topher.
A tall bike.
I wanted
jousting bike.
I wanted the most Billy Badass jousting bike that is still legal, 2 frames. But is configured in such a way to be longer than tall.
Uh-huh.
So it has math behind its forward thrust.
Okay.
A little pyramid bike.
I was going to, I was going to go after some people that soundly trounced me many times over the years.
And we're talking about jousting, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's where you have
10-foot poles
of sorts.
And
yes.
lots of people throwing you on a tall bike at somebody else who also has a 10-foot pole.
Kind of like jousting in the Middle Ages, where the object is to push one person off of the other
person. In Portland over the years, it has been something of a giant movement of people to do that.
There's a lot of that going on.
And it's a really exciting thing to do color commentary on. I love announcing for that, especially if it's giant unicycles versus tall bikes. Because that's jet fighters versus helicopters. The giant unicycles don't have very much punch, but they got all that maneuverability.
Right.
And then the tall bikes, they're going to miss every other time. But when they hit, they're going to pin that guy to the wall like a bulletin board.
Right. You know? So this is the one that you're riding, is the one that was perfectly built, not to spill.
That is exactly her bike. She saw it and went, oh, that's my bike. And I went,
okay, I guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But she did. She took the ball and absolutely ran with it.
You loved giving that
Yeah,
to
of
me.
Course, of course. I was planning to march it to its grisly death, and she took it right into history. So there you go.
Well, you used it a few times, and I was like, oh, be careful.
Don't hurt it.
Yeah, don't hurt her.
She used to get so mad when we would joust her bike.
Well, because his bike got cut in half.
I heard about that. Let's put a bookmark in that.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear about that after.
So, my bike was right behind our house. Oh. And then, we left and we did some recording for our album that might be coming out soon.
I know.
But that was last year. Anyway.
Mastering takes a long time.
Oh, yeah. So we come home and this guy's like, yo, I think I just saw your bike on Twitter. And we're like, what? our bike's on our, no, it's not. Where's our bike? So, yeah, he was like, yeah, here's the picture. He sends a picture of this guy holding my bike and looking angrily at the camera. And he had caught the bus number that the guy put my bike on and went up on the four up division.
So it fits on a bus rack on TriMet?
Apparently. Yeah. I had never tried it before, and this little sucker decided to put it on a bus.
Because we liked the TriMet drivers and hadn't bothered them with that so far. Clearly didn't care.
I'm sure the bus driver was like, what the fuck?
I was going to say, I wouldn't believe that a... Usually TriMet drivers and operators are pretty strict about what they will and won't allow. Either inside the bus or on the racks. Uh-huh. So
he was a lucky dude.
Yeah.
And he took my bike, tried to sell it to this guy for
$20.
$20. He's like, want to buy this bike for $20? I need some meth. Or whatever.
Right.
He didn't say that.
Insert drug of choice. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the guy was like, that doesn't look like your bike. I'm going to take a picture of you. Post it on Twitter.
Right.
Aaron
the
Brown.
Picture went viral. Channel 8 News was like, oh, we should do a story on this. Mm-hmm. And then Bike Portland was like, we'll help you out. We're going to post about it too.
Right.
And so everyone was talking about it, and I was like so grateful. I was like, oh, I hope I get my bike back. And then finally, I think it was, what, 2 weeks, this lady named Donna called me, or Facebooked us, and she was like, hi, I have your bike, call me. And
we're like, what?
What?
We didn't realize how much we needed
that
bike. This
whole media shitstorm.
Oh, yeah.
But throughout the media shitstorm, this guy still got away with your bike?
Somehow.
He had a lot
pissed.
Of close calls. Yeah. Oh, my God. The town was so pissed off when that bike got stolen. We didn't even know it got stolen. Because when he called and said, the bike's gone, I was like, no, it isn't. I looked out the window like, oh, it is gone.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
My God, it's gone.
That's what I said.
And,
right.
Yeah. And so then after a while, we started getting calls. Like one time a guy called me. I was
like
out in the field.
Updates, almost. He's like a ransom.
Yes.
Or something?
He's like, I'm looking right at him, Dingo. Do you want
me
to call the cops?
Over
or
there.
We're ready to go kick his ass. Just kick his ass. And I'm like, does he have the bike? He's like, no. I said, then don't kick his
then
ass.
Don't do that.
Call the cops.
Right. Call the
policy,
cops.
Good policy.
So they did call the cops. And
oh,
then
man.
They caught the guy, and he had meth on him.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah. They caught him on. And the lady.
Go Methodist. I don't think that might not be what that is. I don't know. I've never done meth. Seems like a very religious experience.
I would imagine
so. Oh, my
gosh.
Right. The bus driver reported in. They did a few little excerpts on Channel 8 News, and we were really, really grateful.
We got so friendly with the news guys. We made them all balloon animals, and we turned them into little kids for a little while.
Right
we carried
on.
Each other around the park. No,
right.
Well,
they
maybe
could barely,
that didn't
happen. They were like, oh my gosh, how do we get this into the van? And they have a huge van.
Yeah, a van full of balloon animals, and they had just been filming a tsunami nightmare, and they're like, we're just so glad to get a good story. We
yeah,
want to see blood
happy.
And guts every day.
They need some cheering up.
They were begging to do this story. They were like, please let us go film the clowns.
Yeah. So it was what, like 3 weeks gone then? Is that right? Or
two
weeks?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks gone.
Largely because of the news.
Mm-hmm. Or wait, no.
Since the people that had the bike didn't
a week
get
before Halloween.
News.
Wait.
They didn't have a television. It was a neighbor that, remember that? A neighbor came and told the lady with the bike.
She called her. She's like, Donna, you need to get those clowns back their bike. And she was like, no. She's like, I don't have a television, so I had no idea. And my 14-year-old son, they found it on the I-205 bike path. Right?
Yeah.
And he was just like going to take the parts off my bike and use them for his because his kid likes bikes. And,
sure.
You know, he's learning stuff. Yeah.
He just saw
and
two
found,
26
found
inch
bike.
Wheels.
Yeah.
Right.
Score.
Right.
So he ripped the two wheels
I would
off.
I'd love to live by the I-205 bike path. Uh-huh. That would be amazing.
And so he felt like he was in trouble.
Oh, yeah. But they showed up and his mom's like, his mother like made him bring it back. And she's like, we didn't know how to put it back together.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, so they brought it to our gig at Cafe O Play on Division Street.
Okay.
We do a show there every Thursday at 10:30. We do a show there. And so they brought it. The news showed up and the lady came with the bike with her son dressed up. And we gave him some money and bought him a...
Oh.
It was adorable.
We bought him a treat and thanked everybody. Thanked
the
news people.
Did we give him a muffin or something?
I gave him a muffin. And put the bike back together. And now we have a new respect for our equipment that we didn't have before.
Sure. Because
for a long time, it's like, yeah, tall bikes were like any other piece of equipment.
No one's going to steal this,
we just ride it into the ground. Don't lock it up or any of that. And the picture of the guy with the bike, the stolen bike... To me, it breaks my heart.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people were furious, wanting him all kinds of harm on him. But I'm thinking that guy, for his life to be in a place where he's going to take that bike,
Out of your backyard, no less.
Yeah, and we live in some crappy apartments that are right next to the 24-hour Safeway bottle return. So I call the front of our house the Trail of Tears because there's always something desperate going on out front.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, so he's just peeled right out of the trail there and grabbed a bike and didn't realize the shitstorm he was standing in. And we didn't realize how much the Portlanders needed to see us riding up and down the road on those bikes, because they told us, when I found out your bike was gone, we cried.
Yeah.
It was like, you cried? Why didn't you cry when my Cannondale got stolen in the 90s, man? I had a really good...
No. You weren't a legend then.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I would imagine that it seems as though there's something, I don't know, there's something endearing about what you do now that might not have been... might not have been as endearing of a figure when the Cannondale was stolen.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, yeah.
Our particular flavor now, Dingo, terrifying. Is different than your flavor from 15 years ago.
I think everybody's different every 10 years or
right.
so.
Oh, yeah.
Turn into a different person.
At least.
I brought a little pink and yellow into his life.
Yeah. And a lot.
Everybody needs some of that.
Pink,
well,
yellow,
let's tell us just briefly the story about your tall bike Dingo being, what was it, sawed in two? Or?
We were doing jousting on Alberta Street right the year after the Clown House had ended. What happened was the Clown House had different formations for a long time. Like I told you, there was four different versions of it. And each time more battles were won, and then new problems came that come from winning the battles, like complacency, bums. The hobo culture became very popular. And during the Clown House days, everything I was about was, besides raising my daughter and family, was to gather enough people that are doing something for the country, get everybody a bed, get everybody a bike, get everybody a job, you know, and grow our Portland society away from all of the really crummy influences of the rest of the country, because we're blessed in this town with crap TV reception. If you go to some other place that's flat, they get amazing TV reception.
Right.
And they're 20 pounds heavier. The kids are smoking. It's just a whole different, you just go not even that far out of Portland and the whole quality of life dives, you know, pretty much as far as we're concerned. Maybe it doesn't as far as they're concerned. We're like, now we got two Jack in the Boxes. Great.
Right, yeah. But you noticed the difference.
Yeah, I noticed a very profound difference. And so I appreciate our town. And so there was lots of clown houses. And then the last one was the big hipster clown house that everybody remembers that had the unfortunate luck of happening right when the photography got cheap. But everybody, so all the pictures are of the hipster version that was complacent, that didn't do anything.
Okay.
And its very complacency is what ruined it, made it not even exist anymore.
Interesting.
And it cost me my family. It cost everything. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
I see.
Losing my whole thing that I'd built. Mm-hmm. But I'd built something from an activist perspective, which means I'm not the king. Like, if it's not a collective, I don't want anything to do with it.
Sure.
So I got voted off the island along with everybody else.
There we go.
And everyone romanticizes that house.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, everyone has such fond memories of it, and it had an effect on them in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But for the people who went through it, like you.
Yeah, there's a few of us that were the movers and shakers. It was just always on our back, and it was a weight, and it was hard, and we didn't have anybody helping us. And we're still like that. Alv and I are like an unfunded public health organization.
Mm. He brings smiles and love to all the little children of the city.
Someone asked, there was this fella from Egypt visiting, and his person having him over asked, can you explain to my friend what a clown is? And I said, it's like a non-religious holy person that's funny. There's just a hippie guy right nearby. He's like, that's perfect, dude. That's perfect. That's what you are. A non-religious holy person that's funny.
That's decent.
So people come to us with weird stuff. They tell us secrets or what bike. You were talking about. Oh, sorry, your bike.
Your bike.
Oh, my bike. Yeah, we were jousting outside the last one. One cool thing about the last clown house was there was lots of friendships. There was lots of fun to be had. It was nice to live in a place where the living room looked like a BMX dirt track. Had lots of equipment. There was always something going
paint
on.
Everywhere.
Always a fire. Always some cute butts running around. Always something being played on a fiddle. And so all that stuff was really good. It was a nice lullaby that kept me placated for a long time. Mm-hmm. So one of the other things is lots of jousting. And so we were jousting right at the end of that. And I parked all the jousting bikes next to the Starry Rose Cafe. And overnight, they had cut all the bikes loose and cut them in pieces.
Ah.
And the guy, Topher, that built my bike just happened to find Johnny Disciple, who had found two pieces of my bike. The behemoth.
Dumpster.
Yeah. And so that's the first time I saw Topher cry.
Automatically, because he put his heart and soul into this whole thing.
Yeah, he was livid.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to him having a lot of emotion, so I enjoyed it. I was like, yeah, you get pissed off. You get pissed off.
Let me see. Let me see you get worked
And so
up.
He welded the... He made it happen. He just... He forced it to come back together, and he put the bike back together, and we painted it white for a month, made it a ghost bike.
It was a ghost bike for a while.
Okay.
And then it's red, white, and blue ever since.
There we go.
Every year it gets another coat of red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
So
it fits it so well. Well, you and I are primary colors riding down the road.
Yeah.
Red, white, blue.
We want to be seen, and we want to make the soccer dads happy.
There you go.
We want to make the people that are going to call us fags happy first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of like a person on a 1700 ship putting a Jesus on his back, so when he gets against the lash, you know, nobody wants to slap Jesus in the face. That's kind of
for sure.
I actually have a construction worker costume that I wear when I have to be in some serious commuting.
Is that right?
Yeah, if I have to ride a 10 speed, those things are terrifying to me. 10 speeds,
sure.
They go as fast as a car, but they're not anywhere as tough as my bike, you know,
right.
My tall bike.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So anyway, when I do that, I put on the construction worker garb, a big orange hard hat, and a little lunchbox.
Kind of disguise.
I get mad respect, man. People respect a construction worker on a bike.
I bet.
Yeah, way different than if I'm looking like some kind of rock star.
Uh-huh.
Then they're like, let's knock him off the road.
Yeah.
There we go. Interesting.
Do you guys ever get people go behind you in a car and then yell something really loud to try and make you fall?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that awful?
So many times.
So crazy. Honk at you right as soon they sneak up on you. And
Yeah.
So this has happened to you, Aaron?
Yes.
Because this has not happened to me, as
this
far as
not
I know.
Happened. You're huge.
I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Maybe they think you're adorable.
Honestly.
I doubt that.
Cute.
Honestly, like, not to get down on myself and, like, this is not a pity party. This is, like, me thinking really critically of, like, my sort of place on planet Earth.
Okay.
I honestly think sometimes my stature, like the fact that I'm only 5'4" and a half, I just found out.
You're saying it on the air.
Yes.
All right.
I think honestly, people take that as license to fuck with me or fuck with short people. Like, cause like it's so much easier. Like, who is this 5'4", 100-pound person? Like, what are they gonna do to me? You know. So, anyways, I often wonder. So
do you think that applies in traffic as well?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like,
hell
particularly
can you
in traffic?
Tell? I don't know what kind of bike you rode, but...
I was mostly talking, like, in traffic. As
it sounded like it, but, like, when you're on a bike, you can't really tell how tall you are, depending on the bike.
Well,
maybe you can.
No, because smaller people need smaller frames.
Right.
You know, and mine is a 26-inch wheeled bike, so that
like
also brings me...
Uh-huh. I'm 5'3".
That also brings me down.
Yeah. I hear car
anyways.
People are kind of freaked out about Portland, that there's just bikes just flying out of the woodwork everywhere, left and right and stuff, but... I don't think that your size has anything
it
to do with
it.
I hope not.
It may not.
I
Maybe really that's just the way I'm internalizing it.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, a lot of times I've gotten a number of people coming right up. Like, well, we mentioned on the air a couple episodes ago where I was passing another cyclist. I was in the lane or in the lane of traffic passing a cyclist who was in the bike lane.
Okay.
And it was clear. And the car behind me, like, you could hear it accelerate.
Speeding up to intimidate you or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then waiting till I just get in the bike lane to come up right behind me.
Hmm.
That's a pretty extreme example.
So kind of bullying behavior.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've had people, just shout nonsense sounds out their window to, like, try to startle you.
I've had that a few times.
You know?
And I'm easily startled, so it works.
Yeah, and that like gets my PTSD going.
Uh-huh. Okay,
I turn into like a total lizard man at that point.
Gotcha.
Me too. I get shaky.
I get so angry. I try not to, but every now and then the middle finger comes out.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of comfortable in all of that. I kind of like all the Discord a lot.
I'm torn. Like, because it doesn't. It doesn't help.
Right.
It doesn't build the connection. It doesn't say, I'm just a human being just like you.
Right.
You know.
I think it depends on where you are. Because, for example, if you bump into somebody in the sidewalk in New York, they might say, go fuck yourself. And it's not that big of a deal, because that's just what you do when you, you know, get hit in the sidewalk in New York. If you said the same thing to someone in Portland, Portland is very nice and polite and somewhat passive aggressive. And that would come across as possibly more violent than actually being slammed into with the shoulder on the sidewalk.
That's a great point.
I think it highly depends. I mean, it depends. My personal opinion on the finger is that it really doesn't communicate much. But I think it is a situational thing, and it depends on who you're dealing with. If you don't know who you're dealing with, I would say it's probably better not to, but I'll leave that up to you. We're not here to tell you what to do. We're only here to inform you of various people's opinions. Sure.
What'd the guy tell you in the car? Olive was coming up to a light, and a guy came by in a convertible.
What?
And told her, you would look hot if you weren't in that stupid bike.
Oh, yeah. Oh. My tall bike.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
That is strange. So is he like coming on to you? Or
Well, it translates to I hate my life. Yeah. Totally.
Right.
Totally.
If he was trying to like flirt with you, then he was doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. What if it worked? Oh, really?
I was waiting. I was waiting for
come back.
Convertible.
We'll go throw my bike in the dumpster together. Exactly.
I wanted to be objectified today.
Yeah. I was just waiting for someone to give me a ride.
Yeah. I hate this bike.
Well, let's give them the web address again. It's oliveanddingo.com.
Yep. Yes. That's how you can find out where we are.
What we do.
Questions, have Facebook comments. Presences too.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, let's do some mail, and then that there is, I think, one more thing I wanted to mention that was awesome. It's kind of mail. It's like live action mail. I'll just fold it into that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, anyways, here we are.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Music by Brock Titus.
Lyrics by Aaron Flores.
Dang it. I didn't get into the mail soon enough. Listener Drew offers us a rain cape trial. I believe he phrased it as rain cape challenge.
Oh, maybe that was it. Okay.
Before the rain last cape week's challenge episode.
Yeah.
No, but he sent this to you before.
Yeah, and I thought that he had heard our show where last week we were talking about rain capes and how we don't have any experience with them.
These things are weird. I don't like it.
I thought he was responding, and yet in actuality he just it came to his mind possibly at the same time we were talking about it. Were your ears burning?
Yes, but I thought it was because I lit a Q-tip on fire and stuck it inside. I
thought it was the headphones. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, he wrote
it's the
in.
The best way to get rid of your wax, by the way.
Well, it melts.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Anyways, he said, yes, I have a rain cape. I'd like you to try it. Yeah. So he's challenging us to try this rain cape. I was going to pick it up from him, but then I got sick and my whole schedule went off kilter. So sorry, Drew. I'm going to be over soon to pick that up and we're going to try it out. And lucky us, we're about to get the rain.
Oh, yeah. Lucky us.
That means we get to try out some rain capes.
We've been, I gotta say, we've been spoiled this fall.
We have.
We've been very spoiled.
It's been nice. Today on the way here, I could feel that gusty wind that basically
precedes the rain.
It's like the entire storm front is just pushing all the air out to you.
Yeah.
The wind was very strong, so. And, well, you don't have a rain jacket, you said?
I don't.
Mm.
I'll just be wet on this way home.
Yeah, just push through it.
I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah. Listener John from the other coast is coming to Portland West. He says, I started listening to your show while building cargo bikes in my barn during the long Maine winters.
That's a good thing to do.
You can find it's Woodside Cargo Bike, just like it sounds, .com. I'll say that again, woodsidecargobike.com, just like it sounds. Because if you type the whole thing in, you're going to get something different. While listening to your show, I decided to join my town's bike ped committee. Brunswick, Maine, where I live, has some great rides and riders, as well as beer, but Portland, we ain't. But you don't have to be. What I love is hearing about people doing what they love wherever they are. So,
wherever they are.
Yeah. And Portland sucks. Don't worry about it. When you get here, you'll find out.
And we'll hear more about that next week.
Yeah, and also, I should say, I offered to John when he comes here. You know, we're gonna try and hook him up with cool experiences and maybe meet up for a beer or whatever.
We'll take him to Voodoo Donuts and show him Saturday Market.
Show him how long you can stand in line for a shitty donut. one thing I told him that he could do was the Transportastic Studio Opener, the Open Road Studios, which we are a part of.
I've heard of this coming up.
Yeah. We and the Bike Portland people and Steph Ralph, we all kind of go in on the studio space together, and they're having an event, an opener, on the 25th of October. That's just a couple weeks away. At 6:30 p.m. on a Saturday night, it's here at the IPRC. So if you would like to come and have some beer and watch us do live radio, which is gripping.
All those people who really loved the 200th episode that we did.
Yeah, well, come on out. I mean, you know, it's another excuse for beer and stuff.
I want to come party. I want to come do that.
Please, come by.
You should come party. It's fun.
Plus, you guys are pretty entertaining to just watch.
we do our best.
You know, people say this to us. I don't understand what it is.
So what happens when you put on a clown nose? Does that make you scary?
Ooh, I would imagine so. It doesn't seem like... I wouldn't do it. It scares me to put on a clown nose.
Especially when full of chloroform.
I feel like this is the... this is the companion to the rain cape challenge. Now there's the clown
the
nose.
Clown nose challenge.
Oh, dear.
Do a podcast in a clown nose. You will be a convert, I swear.
Yeah, danger. So what I was going to say is basically if anybody's coming to Portland and they want us to like point them in the right direction, we can certainly do that. So get in touch.
Hey.
Yeah.
Eric in Vancouver asks us, does this count as a bicycle? And sends us a picture.
Yes, and I don't know if you have that up or not. It's don't worry about doing it. It's tricky.
Okay.
I'll describe it for you. It's a bunch of jazz musicians on it's a kinetic motion sculpture thing. An enormous wheel.
Something you'd find in Corvallis during Da Vinci days?
Possibly.
All right.
Yeah, it's something where there all these musicians are seated inside this enormous wheel. I think there's like three musicians.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You've seen this.
It's on our Facebook page.
People keep tagging us in it.
Oh, okay.
Saying, oh, hey, you seen this? Yeah.
And you keep saying, no, I wasn't there.
Yeah, haven't been to Chile.
Right. But then there's also two musicians on the smaller wheels pedaling it and giving it some propulsion. And this is really fantastic. So, yes, that counts as a bike. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Not so much a commuter, though.
No, it would be a hell of a commute. And you'd have to hire the musicians. That's the trickiest part.
And you have to play really fast to get on some of those good lanes.
The flight of the bumblebee.
Someone just tagged me in a video of a guy riding a bike that had like a tractor wheel up front.
Oh, really?
Have you seen
this before.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's a big wheel.
Tractor wheel's about as big as I am tall.
Yeah. It was a giant tractor wheel, and I think there were these tiny little like, oh, my gosh. I want to say...
Caster wheels on the back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Tiny.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That seems like it might be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like maybe you could get hurt.
Yeah.
Kind of like jousting. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just, you know, be advised. Sign your life up. Sign a waiver. So the last thing I was going to mention was I was downtown. I was going to a show on Wednesday, and someone in a car rolled down the window and said, "Sprocket Podcast."
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
I was like, who the hell is this? And turned out one of our listeners recognized me, and I forgot to put that person's name in here.
Has anyone come out?
Someone
Nobody.
Did. It was on Facebook, and I forget who it was.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Anyways, there was that. And who was the other guy? Logan's Gun, apparently, on
Logan's
Twitter.
Logan's Gun saw you.
Saw me carrying this very chair that I'm sitting in on the back of my bike last Thursday.
Tagged you on the Twitter sphere.
Yeah. So apparently people are seeing us in public.
Good.
Wow. That's cool.
Well, I mean, I think people have seen us in public for a while.
People are not
recognizing us in public.
I was heretofore invisible.
You're more than a voice now.
We are.
And a disappointing face. So hey, if you see us, say hello. Anyways, that's pretty much the show for this week. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, yeah. Also, my beet juice is almost gone.
Oh, then we better hurry.
Can't beat that.
Hi-yo!
Oh, wait. That calls for...
There you go.
All right. So
that should have been their fanfare coming in.
Oh, it should have.
We'll put that in post.
We will. All right. You ready for this, Aaron?
Hit me.
All right.
We're
going
to take it running. Find us on the internet at thespracketpodcast.com. Send feedback via email to thespracketpodcast@gmail.com. Call or text us at 503-847-9774. Twitter to Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. Thanks to Herbert for our headline sounder. And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katrina Melamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lean, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller, Todd Parker, Scott McAllister, Miller, and we still have time.
That's right. Adieu.
Go brush your teeth.
Say that again.
Thank you again, Steph.
And no, she doesn't know we're using this. But I think she's cool with it.
Better to apologize after that.
Yeah. I'm just going to assume.
Oops, I farted.